Petrosol, your trusted provider of clean fuel in full quantity, is thrilled to announce that we've been adjudged the winner of the overall National Best Quality Company Award at the AGI Ghana Standards Authority National Quality Awards event. This achievement wouldn't have been possible without the loyalty and trust of our valued customers and supportive stakeholders. And we want to say thank you very much for believing in us. At Petrosol, we are committed to delivering top quality fuel and lubricant. This award is therefore an external validation and testament of Team Petrosol's commitment to quality. We assure you that we will continue to work tirelessly to ensure that our products always meet the highest standards of quality. Please remember to drive to any Petrosol station for clean fuel in full quantity and also stand the chance of winning amazing prizes from our Energizing Dreams promo, which runs till the 31st of 2025. Petrosol, Energizing Dreams. All right, guys, this is Game Plan. Atu is there, Fento is there. The rest of the team will join us later in the course of the show. Let's get to it. State of the Nations delivered by the president today. Not much was said about sports, but touting largely his government investment in sports relative to infrastructure, the AstroTurfs they invested in, the stadia that they invested in, and also some of the other sports and venues that they invested in. I think that was largely the highlight of his tenure. Not so much success in terms of on-the-field success, but also prominent is the African Games that they hosted. He mentioned that, you know, he really featured in his address the success of the African Games and all the difficulties that was associated with it, and yet how they managed to pull that off successfully. That was largely the sum of the president's State of the Nation's address relative to sports. You know, all of that. Fento is on. Let me start with Fent. It's been 8 years of the MPP led by Akufo-Addo managing our sports. And, you've got maybe about 15 minutes or 10 to 15 minutes to do your own assessment. Last 8 years, not sure it will be enough to do a proper assessment, but try. You know, last 8 years of Akufo-Addo's tenure handling our sports. What's been your assessment, Fent?
Yeah, Musbah, I think, the one statement that we can take and analyze from Akufo-Addo's last State of the Nation address with regard to sports is the statement that he made that Ghana has become an international hub of sports as a result of his presidency in the last 8 years. And that statement is true in many fronts because in the last 8 years, I think in terms of sports infrastructure, the Akufo-Addo administration has done creditably well, I have to be honest. The last of which being the African Games and the kind of infrastructure that it allowed the country to build. And even if we have not necessarily been able to put that into proper use yet post the competition, the idea is that going forward, that would become the center of multiple international competitions. I think if you look at the facility that we put up at Botiman Sports Complex, it's got the capability to host international tennis competitions. It's got the ability to host some boxing events here and there. It's got the ability to host international swimming competition. We've hosted one already. It's got the ability to turn the place into a university for sports development, which we have said that we are going to do. And if we are able to do that, we could build a sports excellence center in this country that could attract talent from all around the world of people who would come and enroll at that university and make Ghana a true hub of sports on the continent. Beyond that, you also have to look at what we've done to the University of Ghana Stadium, the installation of that athletics track alone. That singular act alone will bring multiple sporting competitions, especially athletic sporting competitions, to the country for sure. And already we will be hosting next year's the 2026 African Athletics Championship events. And we could go into trying to host continental tour events from World Athletics as well, simply because now we have a certified track at the University of Ghana Stadium, the only certified track that we have in this country, the only track that is capable of hosting international competitions. And with the added incentive or the seating that we have in that stadium, and as the African Games Athletics event showed, that we could turn that into a raucous atmosphere and host international athletic competitions that could rival any athletic competition in the world. So, in terms of that particular statement that he made, there are many aspects of it that are true. And I wish that, for example, if they had finished the youth resource centers that they had also started, the construction of which started back in 2018, about 6 years ago. If we had finished those as well, then it could propel the development of the sport, and then we could leverage on the promotional aspect of it. So I think if you look at the infrastructure aspect of the Akufo-Addo administration with regard to sports, I think, like I said, they've done creditably well, and they have positioned the country to be able to leverage on the infrastructure that they've put together to position the country as a true hub of sports on the continent, and not just football, but sports on the continent. I think already with the Bukom Boxing Arena that the previous administration put in place, we've utilized that facility fairly well in all of the years that have followed since that facility went up, hosting international Thai world title fights there, whether it's Dugby or becoming one of the two attractions of the African Games when we hosted it, and all of the local boxing events that we've put that place, even the music events that we've hosted, the comedy events that we've hosted in that place. It has shown that when we put adequate infrastructure in place, there is opportunity for usage and diverse usage as well. So the Strait Sports Emporium, the managers of that facility, have done remarkably well in the way they've positioned the Bukom Boxing Arena as a hub, not just for boxing events, but for all kinds of entertainment events as well. And my position and my view and hope is that whoever is put in charge of managing these facilities,
Sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
especially what the Akufo-Addo administration has put in place in Botema or at the University of Ghana, will look to the Strait Sports Emporium and look at the management style that they've put into that place and adapt some of those strategies and make it a viable option. Let's not run those facilities like we've run some of the other facilities that are under the management of the National Sports Authority. Otherwise, we will never reap the results and the intended developmental capacities that we had in mind in putting those facilities together. So there is an example to look to. There is an exemplary leadership that has been shown elsewhere in managing a certain facility or similarly positive sports infrastructure that the NSA or whoever, and I have and the understanding that they are looking for private partnership to manage the facility. In the meantime, whoever is put in charge of managing that facility will run it in a way that will inure to the benefit of the entire country and not run it down like all the other facilities that the NSA has supervised over the years. So, like I said, in terms of the infrastructure, the Akufo-Addo administration has done creditably well. And we have our own reservations about the AstroTurf that they have put in place all around the country, and the quality or the lack of it of those facilities, and those are conversations that we can have. But the intended purpose of those facilities itself, while some of it is being defeated because of the lack of quality, we've also seen that the AstroTurfs have brought a certain positive community engagement into the country, where now you have lots of people gathering at those places, even in terms of not just sports, but also serving as avenues where communities can come together for funerals and what have you. And while, like I said, those may not have been the original intended purposes of these facilities, if managed well, and some of them have been managed well, some of those venues have become very purposeful avenues for community engagement, and that in itself, and youth engagement, and that in itself is a positive development. Now, The biggest disappointment for me in terms of the infrastructure of the Akufo-Addo administration has to be the youth resource centers that they started building in 2018. And I'm going back to it because I was part of the very first sword cutting ceremony at the Azuma Nelson Sports Complex when we said that is the then sports minister, Siyama, said that it was a game-changing idea that was going to transform sports infrastructure in this country. And when he said it at the time, it was true. And that if we completed those, they would have transformed the sports infrastructure landscape in this country. Instead, what they have done have been the complete opposite, where the stalled completion of those projects have denied generations and many communities of avenues where they could potentially have gone to polish up on talent that they have. You look at the Azuma Nelson Sports Complex, for example. It serves several communities in the area. And by closing it down, they've denied community members access to the football pitch, and not just competitive games, but also calls for board development and school sports development, because the Azuma Nelson Sports Complex, or Kanishi Sports Complex as it used to be called, was an avenue where they used to host inter-regional competitions or Greater Accra inter-school competitions. All of those things were held there, but by closure and not completion of that place, you've sent schools running helter-skelter, roaming for avenues for sports competitions. You look at the last inter-school competition that they did, and it was at Elwak Stadium. And if you remember, Musbao, the images came on social media, people were mocking the students, and people were making fun of the quality of the track at that venue. That's the purpose that the Kanishi Sports Complex was supposed to serve. And after 6 years, we have absolutely nothing to show. It's a bush, and it's become a breeding ground for reptiles. And that place had a basketball court. It was supposed to have a boxing gymnasium, a running track, 8-lane running track, and a football field, and a swimming pool, including a youth center, an ICT center that would have served as an avenue. In fact, they called it a youth recreational center that would have served as a venue where youth could go in and train in different skills like pitch management and all these other things that could have given them employable skills. We have, and something that was supposed to have been completed at a cost of $1.8 million. 6 years later, we still haven't finished it, and it's denied a huge number of people opportunities for self-elevation and skill development. And that is massively disappointing. And that story is similar in all the other 10 regions where these facilities were started. Axim, the youth went on a demonstration as a result of that, the non-completion of that project. If you go to Koforidua, they commissioned it this year ahead of the Safe March celebration, actually last year, let me keep up with the times, in 2024, ahead of the Independence Day celebration. They said it was ready. Then they held the Independence Day celebration, and they ripped apart several parts of the facility in order to accommodate the Independence Day event. And since then, it's not been used because they've not gone back to complete it. Then you have Ho as well. It was also, put in some kind of shape ahead of the Independence Day celebration of 2023. Then after that, they abandoned it, and it was never ready. So it could not be used for any single one of all the things that facility was supposed to have been used, even though they said that they had finished it when they used it to host the Independence Day celebration in 2023. So Ho and Koforidua suffer similar fate. Recently, the Wa Youth Resource Center was commissioned by the sports minister, and yet no single activity has taken place there just yet. You look at what's happening in Yendi, not completed. You go to Navrongo, not completed. You go to Axim, not completed. You go to Nyinahini, which is located in the constituency of the sports minister who started all these facilities. And that place is worse than all the other venues. Not a single grain of grass has been grown there. And all the previous installations, when they started the project, have now gone completely bad. And it will cost so much more to fix that facility than it would have cost originally if they had completed it from when they started it. And for me, I think that is a massive disappointment from this administration. It was a great opportunity and a really fantastic project that they started. But somehow they abandoned it along the way and it never became priority for anyone. And why that was the case, I would never understand. In terms of infrastructure, the NSA has also shown massive incompetence over the period that Akufo-Addo has been in power. And it took years and years of complaints from the media for him to finally get rid of the NSA boss who was originally in charge. And I'm talking about our very good friend, Peter Chumesi Professor. You know, and what he did with our facilities and how he ran them down. We saw videos of how people during a Stonewall concert took motorbikes onto the pitch. And it was only under this administration that for the first time in the history of this country, we received a CAF ban and not a single facility in this country could be used for international competition. So it took that ban for us to now spring into work, to decisively work hard to get a reapproval to host that Ghana versus Sudan match here in Accra. So there have been issues in terms of the infrastructure. While we were going around constructing new ones, we had left the already existing ones to rot. And ones that we had started that were crucial to the development of sports in this country and needed completion were abandoned. So we didn't get our priorities right in the grand scheme of things. And I think that disappointingly, for me, that's a big letdown from the Akufo-Addo administration. And that is from the sports infrastructure part of things. If you talk about the sports development part of things, and all of the scandals and whether people were duly punished, I think I would give some credit to the Akufo-Addo administration as well. Because in 2018, one of the biggest scandals to ever hit our sport happened, if not the biggest, perhaps, under the Akufo-Addo administration in terms of sports, the Australia visa scandal. And at the time, people were duly punished. Robert Mensah was the NSA boss then. He was suspended. Deputy Sports Minister Pius Hajide, who was the chairman of the International Games Committee, was suspended, even though he was later cleared. We still don't know what report cleared Pius Hajide at the time. He was then moved to Information Ministry as deputy to Kojo Nkrumah and then later CEO of the National Youth Authority. And obviously, he contested these past elections and did not win. But under what circumstances was he cleared? We never found the real truth behind what happened in that Australia visa scandal. And since then, we've had other stories of sports officials engaging in visa racketeering and Ghanaian athletes or taking advantage of Ghanaian athletes and stuffing the contingent with non-sports people here and there. I think that is a subject that has to be adequately addressed. And for me, the new administration will have to look back into that matter and look at and find the truth so that we do not have a repeat of what happened. Because what happened in 2018, that Australia visa scandal, affected several genuine journalists in the ensuing years. Journalists who had the right credentials and were going to cover competitions were denied visas because then suddenly all of the embassies started to raise eyebrows and became rather painstakingly critical in their analysis of all of the documents or all of the journalists that intended to travel for international competitions. And some of them were unfairly denied visas. And all of these impeded developments of the careers of all of these journalists and even some of our sportsmen and women, because we also had situations where sportsmen and women have been denied visas to major international competitions as a result of what happened, maybe indirectly as a result of what happened with the Australia visa scandal. So that matter still has to, we have to go back and reassess it and reopen it. And then find a conclusive, satisfactory conclusion to what happened with that Australia visa scandal. So I think, you know, if you look at it from that point of view as well, how they've handled scandals, I think For some of them, for some specific scandals, you would give them credit. But for some others as well, you would say, I don't think that they pushed enough. Because one of the things that I would have liked that this administration would have done would have been to work more closely with the Ghana Football Association, especially after number 12. And the government played a key role in the way number 12 turned out and the cleanup that happened. And we know that the Nyantichi trial is still ongoing. And we don't know if anybody has faced any sort of incarceration as a result of number 12. And so it just goes on and on and on. And a major scandal like number 12, and not a single person has ended up in jail since. Then that is another big disappointment. But I think that one thing that I also feel maybe slightly disappointed was a lack of insistence from the government and through the Ministry of Youth and Sports that Ghana built a world-class training facility to host the Black Stars. Because look at what happened last year in the build-up to the AFCON in 2024, January in Cote d'Ivoire, where we said that we were going to go and camp in South Africa because we did not have a single facility in this country capable of hosting our national team. And yet, has several acres of land, and we've been to several international competitions, and yet every single one of them, we will call the GFA, would go to the ministry with a budget, and we would approve millions and millions of dollars for them without looking at how we could reduce the cost of our participation in competitions by building a world-class training facility at the Pram Pram training complex, yeah, so that we can save money on hotels and save money on all of these other things that we spend on the Black Star every time they come to camp ahead of a competition or even ahead of a qualifying event. We have to go and sleep at Ailisa Hotel. We have to go and sleep at different hotels all the time. And they come with huge costs. Whereas, if you combine the cost of the hotel bills for all the qualifiers that we have played during that period, and you look at how much it cost us over the period, it would cost probably around 10% of that to have built maybe a 40-bed hotel at Pram Pram to accommodate our players and two or three grass pitches that are well-maintained to ensure that we don't have to look elsewhere when we call our national team to come. So that in itself is another big disappointment. And I think that we have to insist on it. And I know that the positive thing is, I know that after the World Cup in Qatar 2022, the ministry gave the GFA some amount of money to start a project at Pram Pram and build a 40-bed hotel and construct some pitches there to try and limit the amount of money we spend in taking our national team to hotels here and there. So
hopefully that
materializes in the next few years, because I think it's critical for us that we have a facility like that as a country. After four World Cup appearances and several AFCONs, it's a shame and a big embarrassment that we were using Kwame Che Sports Complex in preparing for a competition like the AFCON. And that in itself was forced on them after they had intended to go and spend very limited Ghanaian tax dollars in South Africa for a camping base for a competition that was happening in neighboring Cote d'Ivoire. So all of these are lessons that we are picking going forward. For me, my biggest satisfaction from this administration is how much money, not just the money, is what as for the money and how much the facilities cost, that's another conversation to be had. But for me, I'm very satisfied that we finally have an international track at the University of Ghana Stadium, that we have the facility that we have at Botema, and that going forward, I hope that our authorities would utilize it in terms of the management, and I hope that the new administration will approve that University for Sports Development bill and get that university started so that the management of that Botiman facility can come under that university. I think that definitely has the potential to catapult our sports development into new realms.
All right.
And not I'm just talking about football.
Yeah.
And that is one of the biggest problems that we've had. We've over-concentrated on football and we've really sucked at it. But maybe if we shift our focus towards other sports, which is what the Botima Sports Complex is offering, maybe we could find some excellence there after all.
Well, great. That's Fintuil Tahir there, which is really comprehensive assessment of sports under Akufo-Addo's tenure, 8 years under Akufo-Addo. He just highlighted, successes, the things he believes is excited about, and the challenges that he also noted there. Let me bring Achu in now, because he's also been noting down the points that he's got to share with us. Actually, let me bring you in now. 8 years, maybe not sure if you disagree with some of the things that Fento said or agree with them. You can touch on that and also build your point. And we'll also bring in the comment of some of our listeners on the show that has been coming in already.
thank you. I'm going to end from start from where Fence ended, the issues with football. I thought one of there was I thought the government missed an opportunity to leave a legacy in the whole number 12 expose, or in the aftermath of the number 12 expose. When things like that happen in any progressive society, when the dust settles, one of the things that you will see is the introduction of legislation that addresses issues that could not have been addressed because there were essentially no legislation, right, to address those problems. And so while people may suffer a sanction or two, because there were not existing legislations that speak directly to or that criminalize the specific conducts that from the cracks of the whole saga, they will not properly face the full rigors of the law. And so based on that thinking and that appreciation and admission of that lacuna in the law, these new bills are promulgated. And that is how societies grow, because your laws will not always be 1,000,000% progressive. There are going to be things that you will not capture. Human beings evolve, crime evolves. So over time, we will begin to develop behavioral patterns that may not be captured in the existing laws or flagged as wrongdoing, right? But when events like that happen, then you go back to your constitution and then look at those conducts, and based on what is generally accepted as the wrongdoing or the injuries that have been occasioned by that conduct, then you do not only introduce the law, but also sanctions for that and institute measures that will prevent people from actually committing such conducts or crimes. And so for me, the main after number 12, when the dust settled, there were two things I was looking out for. Legislation that will criminalize match manipulation and match fixing.
That's a legislation from Ghana.
Yes.
The state of Ghana.
Yes. So after number 12, and you see, I'm saying the government, because matters of such nature in every jurisdiction goes beyond the football associations, it goes beyond the sports ministries, because it is a matter of law and constitution and jurisdiction. You would need the Attorney General's department and the entire judicial setup to front it, because they have a better appreciation of the law than anyone else. Yes, you can hire sports consultants, sports law, people who are experienced in sports law and all of that. But someone has to look at it with a broader, from a broader spectrum. Someone whose bread and butter is law.
So you think the regulations, the FIFA regulations and the punitive actions...
So the government missed an opportunity. Because about 5 or 4 years down the line, we were confronted with the same problems again. In fact, they had a second opportunity. Let me put it that way. Remember the Ashanti Gold incident, the Intala incident as well. As we speak today, one of the players who was engaged in that act and was banned for 30 months is about to sign a contract with one of the top clubs in Ghana football. In fact, he has been offered a 3-year contract. He will get on with his life as if nothing has happened. Yes, there are those who would say that maybe he's been sanctioned for 30 months. But if there were proper, there were actual laws in our constitution that criminalize match fixing and match manipulation, maybe this person would not even be walking free. You get me? So, and for me, the fact that we really do not have any specific stipulates or dictates in the constitution that speak to sporting behavior that is a crime. I thought this government has missed that opportunity. And the fact that these things have happened twice and still we did not see any commitment from the sports ministry or from the attorney general's department or from the office of the chief justice or any of them to look at this and also recognize the threat of match manipulation and match fixing and all of the attendance issues that are associated with the habit of betting, the very addictive habit of betting, for me is underwhelming. I'm hoping that going forward, our governments would look at this particular matter and then attempt to address it. But the bigger issue in football for me was, and I look at it from this way, what was the narrative at the time this government came into power on 7 January 2017? What were our biggest problems in football? And have they been addressed? That's the best way to assess President Akufo-Addo's tenure. Right. And for me, the one thing everyone complained about as far as football was concerned was the fixation with football, that we're excessively focused on the Black Stars. So the fixation was, even with football, the fixation was with the Black Stars and the general lack of investment, which stemmed from the lack of any sustainable source of funding for the sport and for football. So that was a problem we had, that we were not paying enough attention to football in general. Rather, we were just focusing on the Black Stars. But we all understood that maybe that was because there was a genuine lack of funding, and that was a problem birthed by the fact that there really is no sustainable source of it. We don't have any sustainable source of funding. So did that change over the 8-year period? I'm sure you know the answer as much as I do. Now, I'm going through the AFCON budgets and how much we spent, because over the 8 years, if you take away the African Games, which was an anomaly, the most we spent, the biggest investment Ghana made in any discipline was into football. And in football, it was mostly the Black Stars. Apart from that, the only other investment Ghana made into football in the country was paying for national teams to play competitions, so qualifiers, but nothing transformative, nothing developmental. So for 8 years, we completely locked up the place and said, we are going to sleep. We are not going to do anything developmental, but we'll just throw money at the Black Stars. Now, this is how much we spent. Over the 8-year period, we spent $11.5 million on AFCON participation. This is just for the tournament. Qualifiers not included. So the cost of, because they never really tell us how much they spent on each AFCON qualifying series. But what we get are expenditure and then the budgets. Overall, we budgeted $20.2 million across three competitions: AFCON 2019, AFCON 2021, and AFCON 2023. AFCON 2019 tournaments under this government, the GFA presented at the finalization committee presented a budget of $7.2 million. 6.3 of that was approved. We spent $4.5 million. We exited at the round of 16. When we were eliminated by Tunisia in Egypt. AFCON 2021, $4 million was approved. AFCON 2023, $8 million was approved. And then we spent over $3 million. So that is the breakdown of how much we have spent over the years on the Black Stars, not just in football. For the World Cup, we budgeted $8 million and managed to spend $5 million. You cannot look, we cannot exaggerate how wasteful we have been in our expenditure. And if you wanted a pointer to how we have wasted money on the Black Stars, it is AFCON 2023. Because we spent about 11 days in
Ivory Coast.
And we are told that the team, on the average, spent $300,000 per day. Per day.
Mm.
We are told that the team spent $300,000 per day. So the sum total is in excess of $3 million for our 11 days in Côte d'Ivoire. Now, here's the thing. This was a team that was struggling to find a place to train. We didn't have any local facility back home that we had built. So across the sports ministry, the Ghana Football Association and the finance ministry, nobody thought it wise that this continued management style does not make sense. That every year we have to use taxpayers' money to go and rent and train national teams on rented surfaces. Go and pay top dollar in expensive hotels while our peers in Côte d'Ivoire, our peers in Senegal, our peers in Morocco. Maybe Morocco is a richer country than us, but our peers in Côte d'Ivoire, our peers in Senegal have facilities back at home, state-of-the-art facilities that they can train in. So again, the government failed to address the problem of the excessive fixation and even the wastage
on the Black Stars,
because you are not helping the team if you are not making available to them facilities that they can train in like that. You get me? So even for the Black Stars that we are spending a lot of money on, we are not spending the money wisely. If you flip the coin and look at women's football, last week we were discussing Nora Hopsel and how we have lost her because essentially we were not prepared to find money for her to train the team. That is how we lost Nora Hopsel. Because ultimately, it came down to someone sitting her down and having a plan and projecting that in the year that we have qualified for the AFCON, we need to play preparatory matches. They are going to cost X, Y, Z. So we think there is a good chance of qualifying for the AFCON. When we qualify, we will need these preparatory matches. So this is the budget. This is how we are going to find the money. Nobody did that. Rather, she went on a essentially fighting everyone, asking everyone who would care to listen in the chain of power that this is it. I want something to be. And here's the thing. She is an employee. She cannot, by her own authority, go and invite national teams to play international friendlies. Even if she attempted to, her authority would not be recognized. And number two, she would not be able to foot the cost of that expenditure by herself. So we threw a lot of money around, but there was no thinking behind where that money would go to and what value we were going to get from it. It was just a case of business as usual. As for Ghanaians, when they complain about the Black Stars for a month or two, they will stop talking.
So we
and you see, the mismanagement did not only affect the Black Stars, who had to literally run around the country looking for a place to train before AFCON in Côte d'Ivoire. It did not only affect the Black Queens, who have now lost their national team coach because of failure to plan. It also affected the Black Princesses because someone, age fraud, that is what we did. Unfortunately, nobody at the sports ministry, nobody in government thought it wise to call the people at the Ghana Football Association and demand answers. So while the sports ministry and governments were not directly responsible for the action that got us banned, and because of which we missed two qualifying cycles.
And you're talking about
the Black
girls,
princesses.
The girls, you know,
while
the 17 girls.
Yes, did. While governments were not responsible, they are responsible for what happened after because they didn't do anything about it.
Nobody was held accountable.
So, as far as football is concerned,
I think the farthest we went was to see the management committee dissolve. That's it. Nothing else happened.
As for management committee, in fact, the government has actually made it a habit of continuing and actively being involved in an illegality. Because when it comes to the Black Stars Management Committee, there is a government white paper, which is the equivalent of a high court decision that essentially bars the existence of that. But this government says, we will do it. So we not put in place any proper framework for developing football in the country. We have not addressed the issue of funding. As we speak, the next government that comes in would have to find their own sources of revenue to fund football. Because as of now, in excess of 90% of the sports budget every year goes into servicing salaries and compensations. So there is no money to do to undertake any actual work. Every other expenditure that is significant comes through the consolidated fund. Right? Now, that lack of central sports fund reflects in the mismanagement of other sectors as well. And here's where I would move the conversation forward. Fent was speaking broadly about infrastructure, the youth resource centers. Again, it is because everyone who wants to undertake any significant project in this country has to not just go and beg their sector minister, you have to go and beg at the finance ministry that they should dip their hands into the consolidated fund for you. Then it becomes a sympathy call. Not necessarily the substance of the projects that you're about to undertake and the value it will bring to this country. No. It is now down to the finance ministry to look at it and then look at their priority list. So that is how come when the NYE, Pius Ajide's office, when they were writing all of those letters to the District Assembly's Common Fund, the Office of the Presidency, the Chief of Staff and all of that, their hands were literally tied because the Finance Ministry and the District Assembly's Common Fund, and we did that story here, right? When the District Assembly's Common Fund basically told them that when we are done addressing our priorities and there is money and we still have disposable income, we may attend to you. It wasn't personal. I didn't like it, but it was a fact of the matter. The only problem there was that a few months before that, the president had gone to Kuforidua when he was commissioning the facility there, and he said he was going to ensure that they release monies for the completion of these other facilities, right? So that is where there was a bit of disconnect, because once the president has said this has to be done, you expect everyone to fall in line. But sometimes it goes just beyond the words. If the money is not there, it is not there. So the lack of funding, the lack of a central fund, was the reason we could not even complete the youth resource centers. That was a bigger problem. And I know there are people who are going to say that, oh, but when the sports ministry started the youth resource centers, didn't they know how much it was going to cost them? Didn't they have money they had readily available? The sports ministry's IGF is thin. It peters into insignificance. Not even when you compare it to anyone, but for anything at all that the sports ministry wants to do, its budgets, its internally generated funds peter into insignificance.
So
that is why for the Youth Resource Center, it is the District Assembly's common fund that the party would go to parliament and say, this is what we want to do. And then they will use that source of fund for some of... So actually, it was creative thinking. However, the person who the fund belongs to also says they have their priorities. You get me?
Yeah.
They have their priorities. So ultimately, you need your own source of funding, because, and I'm not making excuses for anyone, I'm just saying to you that when you look at it, it looks unacceptable that you said you will complete these facilities in 18 months. But the problem is, no matter what timelines you give yourself, the reality is that if the money is not there, you will not meet those timelines, because you have to pay contractors, you have to pay for equipment, you have to pay on-site staff. You get me? So the long and short of the Youth Resource Center problem, and I know that if President Akufo-Addo had his way, he would have today told us that, oh, we delivered 8 out of the 10. We delivered 6 out of the 10, or even half. But as we speak, it is only Wa and Koforidia. But beyond the funding issue, there is a bigger problem of a lack of thinking. And it is in twofold. Even for the ones that have been completed, there is an issue of accessibility. So for those listening to us in Koforidia, what is the facility? What has the facility been used for since it was commissioned in, it was open for public use in 2023? The one in Wa, when it was opened in November, what has it been used for? Who has access to it? Is it serving the purpose for which it was serving? Because it is not good enough to just say that we have commissioned it and we have opened it. That was not the purpose for which you spent millions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
So you have to be able to connect the existence of that facility to a particular problem that it is solving. Otherwise, you have done nothing but waste taxpayers' money. That takes us to the issue of the artificial pitches. So as far as infrastructure is concerned, for me, the main areas to focus are the youth resource centers and even the artificial pitches, because I cannot understand how we have spent over $40 million on these two projects over an 8-year period. Yet, when the Black Stars needed a facility to train, not to host a Category A match, when the Black Stars needed a facility to train, none of the facilities that we have spent that amount of money on was good enough. If you look at, before the elections, Dr. Bawumia mentioned that the government had constructed over 150 AstroTurfs in the country. Something I have always disputed. But assuming without admitting that what he's saying is true, let's just cost each facility at $200,000. You know what that means? You are spent in excess of $30 million on the 150 facilities that you say you have constructed. What value are you getting from those? Because you cannot tell me. And those who are saying that, oh, some of them are good for, like friends were saying, is unifying the community because people are having funerals and outdoors. We didn't invest tens of millions of dollars for people to come and hold funerals. Why? Were we not holding funerals long before we
But some of them are being used for instance, the
There was a primary.
Beyond the point Fence made about, you know, it also serving as a social center, which we've seen even the Bukum Boxing Arena served, and even some other facilities, even the Barra Sports Stadium has been used as a social center.
No, those but are not part not, of the yes. artificial. It's not part of this conversation.
No, I'm saying that making that point is not to suggest that that's the only use of it.
No, you see.
But it's also been used for other things.
Let's not confuse that. One, the Bukum Boxing Arena was built under Mahama. Baba Yara has had its issues. They are not part of the investments that I am questioning.
No, we're talking about the use of sporting facilities, and you're talking about the AstroTurf.
These
and
two
what they have been
specifically,
used
yes. Yeah. I'm saying that Baba Yara serves purpose. At the very least, it hosts CAF Category A and B matches. Mm. It hosts Ghana Premier League matches. Bukum Boxing Arena, the same. African Games. Those are not part of the ones that I'm talking about. Fence has already addressed that. I don't want us to be repeating. I'm saying to you that if you have spent tens of millions of dollars, we're assuming that if each of those facilities, right, costs $200,000, you say you've done 150, that's nearly $30 million, possibly more, but plus or minus around that figure. We have to see that that kind of investment solved a particular problem. Do you get me? Because we are not an oil-rich country sitting on a bottomless pit of cash. So every investment has to be done with a certain end goal in mind.
But these facilities weren't... I mean, if
you follow the Ghana Premier League.
Yes.
How many of them, how many of those facilities are used for the Ghana Premier League matches?
Well, a number of them are used, but a number of them have also been used in the women's
Premier League. There was one that was used. They don't meet specifications.
No, they used. Madina, they play women's Premier League
there
games
was one. There was one that the one Dreams FC play on.
Yeah.
You saw all the fittings Dreams FC had to do.
Duba AstroTurf, yeah.
Yeah, at Tuba.
Tuba.
Before it could host that match. So again, there is a problem and a conversation to be had about the structure of those facilities, whether they are competent enough to serve the purpose for which they were constructed. Because At the end of the day, for me, this is how I look at it. If you say they were supposed to fix a particular problem, in doing that, they have to meet certain specifications before they can serve that purpose. Yet, if in doing that, the category of organizations that can use the facility and bring you the best value are not able to use it because it is not fit for purpose, you have failed. That is the crux of the matter. So the fact that Division One, or what do they pay for those facilities?
What do they do?
Pay. How much do they pay for those facilities?
How much do they pay?
Yeah, for free, literally. So again, you are risking the ones that have deteriorated, the with patched up surfaces and all of that, were because no one had any plan for maintaining those facilities after they commissioned them. So there is an issue to look at as far as those two, for me, are concerned.
Let me try and see. Understand Felix is joining us. Not sure if he has joined us yet, but so that I can also honor my promise to get to hear from our listeners.
The final thing for me is Olympic sports and our investments on that. It is perhaps the one area where we've had the biggest disappointment, because in the past year, we have seen national athletes. Her career has literally ended, and she's only 28, because between the sports ministry, National Sports Authority, Ghana Olympic Committee, and the Ghana Athletics Association, no one wants to take responsibility on who promised what to Deborah Akwa. And so her career, would rather sit and watch her career waste away. But you see, it is not because the people in these organizations are wicked, and that there is a certain fund for taking care of athletes, and they are deliberately saying no. No, that's not the case. There is no money. There is no money.
All of this come down to the failure of the government to have instituted a dedicated funding for sports, because
not just institute, but find and create sustainable sources of revenue. Right, because these were problems. This was something they actually mentioned in their 2016 manifesto. In 2020, when they were running for office again, it featured in their manifesto.
So that's one of the lows for you, really.
So you, in the end, have not solved the problems that you inherited. Now, Fence mentioned the Australia visa scandal. I would want to look at a different aspect of the whole Commonwealth conversation. Remember Peter Spencer, the guy who became popular in Ghana without stepping foot in Ghana simply because he set up a GoFundMe. He was a member of the GC Bike Fit Club in Australia. He and his friends set up a GoFundMe to raise monies for Ghana's cycling team, because apparently we turned up for the Commonwealth Games without the proper equipment. You remember? Look, I want to check the page, because every month I go and check the page, because the campaign is still running. As we speak, people have donated $89 for Ghana. But this disgrace happened because we did not have a plan for the Commonwealth Games. We did not. Because if you had a plan, your plan would have told you the number of athletes you are taking, the specific equipment and toolbox for each discipline, the number of athletes that have qualified for the games, how much it would cost to acquire them.
But subsequently,
I'll come to that. Do you get me? So that is what a plan is. It prepares for scenarios like that. It will give you an idea of how much you will need, right? So that if you cannot afford the cost of participating at the Commonwealth Games, or if you have to deny some athletes who have qualified participation, if you have to go on a nationwide appeal to raise the money, you find your way. But we didn't. Because we didn't have a plan, these cyclists went to Australia and then we were disgraced. 6 years down the line. No, 7 years down the line. Here, Accra. Commonwealth Games. You were covered cycling.
Yeah.
African, you were covered cycling. Where the cycling started?
Is that Ablekuma?
On the Ablekuma stretch. That is where we had our best cyclist had to pull out of the games because he did not have the appropriate the carbon fiber bikes.
Mm.
It wasn't just him. It was him and other athletes. For every progressive government, once it happened the first time, you put in measures to ensure that... and here's the thing. We didn't just wake up one day and decided to waste to host the African Games. We won the hosting right in 2018. But 5 years later, still, we were not prepared for the Games.
Well, actually, so you, you have to end it here for me. So that,
yes, so yeah, I'm saying that for me, in terms of what the government has done, I would urge Ghanaians to undertake this exercise with me. Think of all of the problems you identified with Ghana sports before January 2017 and ask yourself how many of them have been addressed. Funding, right? A holistic plan for the development of the specific disciplines. So be it boxing, athletics, football, right? Especially the Olympic sports. Think of all of those. How many of them have improved? The ones that government has done, like infrastructure, where there's been a certain attempt, interrogates that and look at whether or not there has been value for money. And most importantly, if the investments that they have made is solving any problem that you can identify.
All right. Well, still tuned to Game Plan here, and you can see what the guys have been doing. I've been giving them the time to do a good assessment of sports development under the Akufo-Addo tenor, you know, for two terms, you know, 8 years and all, how sports has been since he took, became president of the country. And you heard from Fentu, you also heard from Achu Tamaklo, all of them were their views there. But let me just tell you about Chopbox Technologies Limited. It's finally here, and of course, just in time for the new year and new school season. Introducing the all new school box by Chopbox. Say goodbye to bed bags and hello to convenience with a sleek, durable, and innovative school box designed for every student. Be the first to grab yours this season and make back to school a game changing experience for your loved ones. Get a free branded water bottle for every school box purchase. Be the the one who will make your loved ones smile this very season. Access, provisions, books, birthday packages, and so much more, all delivered right to campus. You can visit www.choboxonline.com to explore over 10,000 items for school. Call us today at 030-804-1000, or you can WhatsApp or call also 030-223-9134. And you're going to go on to make this season magical for the students in your life with Chopbox. Use promo code SCHOOLBOX Santa for a chance to win 100 Ghana Cedis voucher from Chopbox. So that's massive coming from Chopbox. The students' results have been released. They're getting ready for secondary school. School is resuming. Make sure you go there and get all the products you need for your wards to return to school safely and without any hitches. That's still a game plan, and I'm going to just go to Fend briefly to hear from you. But let me see. We saw some messages earlier. Guys, can you help me bring out the messages we saw earlier? And Anita, if you're there, just bring out the WhatsApp messages, and then we can read them. And I think we've got about 24 minutes to go, and I promised you that we're going to hear from you, so we'll try and do that. Felix hasn't joined yet, so I'll go back. While I wait to see the messages, I'll go back to Fent just quickly on the subject of what we shall look forward to this year, which sports and events, you know, we should look forward to this year. I'm sure he has a few on his fingertips. The exciting sports event to look forward to this year. Just briefly, I'll come to him on that. Then actually, I'll come to you to speak about the big game coming up this weekend between Liverpool and Manchester and the issues surrounding that. So maybe Fent, just a highlight of the top sporting event to look forward to this year. Maybe you can touch on the Manchester United-Liverpool game, and then actually also touch on that, and we can get to speak to our listeners. So let's do that. Maybe 5 minutes for you and 5 minutes for Achu. Fen.
Yeah. Listen, just 60 seconds before I talk about what's coming up this year, I just need to highlight that the Mahama administration, when they take office on Tuesday, a few things that I believe they should prioritize and must do as a government. I think first and foremost, they must, and this goes to Achu's point, they must set up a sports fund. A fund that directly feeds into sports development, a fund that we can dip into when we have issues with sending athletes to a competition, a fund that we must dip into when we need to finish setting infrastructure, a fund that we can access and give scholarship to student athletes to go abroad, or a fund that we can dip into to help with the training funding of athletes here and there. Or that we can use to help injured players who have lost their source of income. A fund that would provide us with an avenue to look back on and access for a lot of things so that we can stop all this finger pointing and this administrator promised me some money and they didn't pay and this one said they would take care of me and I owe school fees, my school wants to kick me out. And all this stuff can stop if we have a centralized fund. And for me, I have an idea for them on how they can put money into that fund. Set up a sports fund with an administrator, obviously. And then I think, obviously, the administration has said that they are going to scrap the betting tax. Now, let me explain that the betting tax is in two folds. There is the 10% that they are taking from the winnings of the people who stake the bet. That 10% is what the government says they are going to scrap. Because obviously the youth, who are mostly the ones who engage in the betting, are very angry about that. They say even Bamia had promised to scrap it. The government that instituted it had also said they were going to scrap it. NDC said they're going to scrap it. So I think that they're going to go ahead and scrap it. No problem. There's a second layer to the betting tax, which is a 20% on all stakes. Now, most people don't talk about that. But there is, for every amount of money you use to stake a bet, the government takes 20% of it from the betting companies. Whether or not you win that bet doesn't matter. But that's also from your money, except that because it's already gone to the betting company and the government takes 20% of it, you're not complaining about that one. But that one still remains. And I'm saying that the government will keep that one. And they've not said anything about scrapping that one. So that's good. Now, I'm saying because that tax is as a direct consequence of sporting activity, I would say set up a sports fund and redirect all revenues from that tax to go straight into that sports fund. Because and we have an example to look to. UK sports is funded by UK lotteries. A direct gambling money goes into funding sports. And because betting is usually an activity that the youth engage in, I think setting up this sports fund and taking a tax from betting to go direct into that to fund youth activities is an excellent idea, is an excellent proposition. And I think that the government should seriously consider that and stop putting tax that they are accruing from betting into consolidated fund, into other activities, and we're struggling to fund sports. So for me, I think that is the number one thing that they need to do. It will address all the challenges that comes with the lack of funding that Achu spoke about. Set up a sports fund, and I'm telling them exactly where they can get their primary source of funding from that tax. And then you could look at other areas where you could redirect some small 1% here, some small 1.5% here into the same fund. And that fund can be used for so many things. You understand? So let's do that. This administration prioritize it. Let's do that. Let's set up that sports fund. It will solve a whole lot of problems. It will solve a whole lot of problems. The second thing I suggest then, in terms of our football development, I think that they should really consider partnering with secondary schools across the country to set up what I would like to call Right to Dreams across all 16 regions. And you don't need to set up a whole new school, build a whole new school. No, you just need to identify one secondary school and convert it into a school of sports development. And that way, then you can just build adjoining facilities. So they already have a football pitch, fix it, add a track, add an indoor sports auditorium. And that indoor sports auditorium can have a basketball court, it can have a volleyball court, it can have all these other things in there, like we have in many US high schools. Just build one hall that has everything to add to the track and then the football field that's already there. And then what we can do is that, obviously, because it's already a secondary school, the classes already exist. So it's school and sports. And those are specialized secondary schools across all the 16 regions. You have just one in each region. So you have coaches for various sports in there. You have teachers. You can have one headmaster. And you have two assistant headmasters, one in charge of sports, one in charge of academic. So once someone goes through that in 3 years, there's academic curriculum and there is sports curriculum. If they finish the school, whichever one will help them would help them. But that is sports at the very grassroots, because we go to secondary school at age 13, 14. It's brilliant. It's fantastic. By the time you finish at age 17, 18, you know exactly what you want to do. We can get all our under 17 footballers from there. We can get under 18 athletes from there. We can get amateur boxers from these schools. That way, it becomes a system. And I think we will benefit immensely from that. Because trust me, and even the GFA can select the under 17 players there and take to Pram Pram. They don't need to go around the whole country scouting for talent. The talents are already in school. Because look, the Right to Dream model, and it's happening right here in Ghana. And the Right to Dream model has university graduates from Ivy League schools in the US. And they started here, right here, in all Accra. The football didn't work out for them, and they ended up getting scholarships to go to schools in America. Even without the sports, because it's also a really good school that they have over there. This central sports fund can fund those schools. You understand? So for me, like, these two ideas, I feel are grand ideas, but they are doable. Because you look at the secondary school campuses that we have in Ghana, they're massive campuses. You can build all these facilities. And like I said, you don't need to go and build all these classrooms because there are schools already. Just identify one with facilities already, and then you add on the facilities that they don't have, one in each region. It would work. So that's that. Like, there's so many other ideas that we can give for this government. But I think these two, for now,
very workable.
Would be critical. And we wait to see who the new sports minister is or whatever be the case.
Mm.
But they have to seriously consider this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that it will help our sports development massively.
Yeah, it's really workable.
So events coming up this year, well, there's a lot, Musbao, aren't they? Because the year will end for the first time ever with an AFCON over Christmas, and we are not going to be there.
Mm.
So that's the problem. So I don't know whether Ghanaians will be looking forward to that. But with no Black Stars at the AFCON, you give them AFCON in December and dirty December, you wonder what they will choose. I know what Achu will choose for sure. But before that as well, I think this year, we will have the first ever FIFA Club World Cup, 32 clubs converging in America. That will be a massive, massive one in the summer. So we wait to see what becomes of it. From the footballing point of view, that is, for me, the biggest thing that everybody is looking forward to in the summer. We also have a world championship this year, athletics, that will be happening somewhere in Tokyo, Japan, in September, just after the FIFA Club World Cup in the US. There is the World Athletics Championships happening in Tokyo, Japan, in September. Another opportunity for the likes of Noah Lyles and Femke Bol and Sydney McLaughlin to go strut their stuff and show off their prowess, and Lesile Thibogo building on what he achieved last year at the Olympic Games. So it's one that many people will be looking forward to. Obviously, there is the Diamond League event also in the athletics season that will happen over the year. And this year, there is a new competition that Michael Johnson is bringing to athletics. And it will be interesting to see. And they're calling it Grand Slam Track, with four meetings each taking place across 3 days that will be held between April and September. So he's organizing a competition that looks like how the tennis slams happen. And it will bring only the best athletes from around the world. And there'll be four meetings. So basically, four Grand Slam events across the season. So I'm looking forward to how that will pan out. And it's starting this year, starting in April, obviously. We also have, obviously, the different slams happening in tennis. Novak Djokovic is still playing, but for the first time in forever, we will not have Roger Federer. Is it Roger Federer? Rafael Nadal, who retired at the end of last season. So the tennis landscape already changing is also set to change even more. Australian Open is already starting this very January, and so many people will be looking forward to that. There will be obviously a lot of boxing events too, the heavyweight division, the welterweight division, all of them with massive potential matchups here and there. So I think this year would be another event as far as sports is concerned. And even for us at Joy Sports, obviously we will do our Joy Sports Invitational much earlier than we did last year. We're bringing back Kids Olympics as well. We will have our Rep Your Jersey event as well, with the Champions League final towards the end of May or beginning of June. So Razak, it's going to be a very, very long year of sporting competition all around, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Just as a friend mentioned, so much to look forward to in the this year, even from Joy Sports, in terms of the events we've got for you. I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot more about them, especially in this month of January, so you can keep your dates. A few other exciting shows also we've got for you. You get to hear about all of them here on the platform. Okay, let me get to the phone lines now and speak to a few of our listeners who has been part of us throughout last year and also looking forward to stay with us throughout this year. So 030-221-6541, 030-221-6541. Okay, so maybe let's just limit the conversation to what Fent, the angle Fent took, the angle Fent spoke from, about what you are expecting from the incoming administration as far as sports is concerned. What would you like them to prioritize? They spoke about them putting together a fund to help sports and all of that. If you agree with that, you can share your thought or any other issue you've got, there. All right. So this game plan, and let's hear from you. 030-221-6541. 030-221-6541. Prosper Domenyo from Dakuman says, "We thank God this sportsless administration is finally going away. As a Ghanaian, you cannot be proud of any of our sports, be it football, athletics, boxing, etc. We really need competent people to run the sector," he says. That was the message. WhatsApp message from Domino. Okay, so we will be hearing from our first caller very shortly. 030-221-6541. We have the first caller on the line. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, your name, where you're calling us from, please.
Nana, I'm calling from Westland.
All right, Nana, I can guess you might be in the car. Can go ahead, just make your point.
Raining.
Oh, it's raining. Oh my
Yeah.
goodness. Wow. Go ahead, make your point.
Okay, so I certain all Pentio said, okay, it's not rocket science to you don't have to even go far. In this Africa continent, the blueprint is there. People are doing it. Just copy it. You don't do it. It's just the mindset and the thinking of people in authority. So there's this thing that I say. It's called Abita Nawa. Bata Nabiwa. You know what it means?
No.
That's what the authorities will say. So no matter what we say, we will put out brilliant ideas. There's evidence, there's everything showing that, look, this is the way to go. Hey, you say all you say. You speak all the drama you speak. You give them, do the free work for them. Do the free work. Document it and give it to them. Hey, they will be me. So.
Well, interesting. Nana, thank you very much. Thank you very much. He's not very optimistic, but let's hope. You can still stay optimistic a bit. You're just optimistic that maybe they're going to take into consideration some of the things that we'll be saying in terms of the areas that they should prioritize to help develop the sector. 0302216541. That's the phone line. We've got about 6 minutes to end the show. So let's hear from you. What are you hoping that the government, incoming government, will prioritize as far as sports is concerned, especially this year? Okay, Black Stars will not be at the AFCON. The women is going to be at the AFCON. I think there is under 20 AFCON also for the, there's some under 20 AFCON there, right? Tournament there, right? The under 20 men's AFCON. We are part of
We've
qualified for that. Desmond Ofoe and his boys, we've qualified for that. So, yeah, that's another event that we've qualified for. And I think the Chan is starting, I think, next month. But we missed out on that. Nigeria defeated us.
Don't mention the tournaments that you are not going to participate.
No, we just so people will know, how we something. I don't know.
Both senior competitions.
Yeah.
No show.
Both senior competitions. For the men.
For men.
No show.
And the senior competition for the women's team.
Yeah.
We don't have a coach.
Charlie. Somewhere. But we'll get coach. Another quack of his stepping sharp. But if you do the job
every day, this is what people know.
But now, okay, if you do the job, you go do the job.
We didn't even have to get to this point of the point of having this conversation in the first place.
Uzba, are we talking about Man U Liverpool or what?
We are picking phone lines. Man U Liverpool. We are just trying to pick some.
See that smile on Achu's face. He knows trouble is
brewing.
I think we have one caller, so let me speak to him and then maybe we'll just wrap up with the Man U Liverpool. Hello.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Where are you calling us from, please?
Yeah, I'm Adam calling from his home.
All right, go ahead, Adam.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I've followed listened to all the update that has been given. But then I have my own reservation.
Okay.
In respect to the Astro test,
mm-hmm.
I always have a big question. That is it only football that our main focus is on in this country? Because the AstroTurf, as we have created all around, those that are not even present, we are saying that they are present, but let's just put that one down. But then, at the end of the day, what about the other sporting discipline?
Mm.
Why focusing attention on AstroTurf, to the extent that where we even have football pitches or pitches that could actually deal with other sporting discipline. We have given wielded those football pitches to market women. In some prisons, park is one of the key field that has suffered this kind of misfortune. And we have tried so much to reclaim that sporting pitch, and we are not getting it. So when people are mentioning AstroTurf, I ask myself that, look, there are a lot of sporting discipline, that if attentions are paid to those sporting disciplines, we are able to unearth talent. In fact, the unemployment nature of this country will be dealt with, because people will find interest in badminton, they will find interest in table tennis, they will find interest in swimming, they will find interest in boxing, which we already have, of course. But then the other discipline, field events, track events, people will take interest in that. But our focus is on AstroTurf. So any corner at all that you find AstroTurf, it's only meant for football. And apart from that, like someone is saying, is that the purpose for creating this sporting arena like the AstroTurf to come and be having a social gathering on it? It's neither here nor there. So me, I think that, look, the new government that is coming, they are praying that they should focus attention on other discipline. The networks are there. We have students whom we have trained. You know, I love sports. We have trained. But as we speak now, a lot of talents have been, misused in this country. So please, let's focus our attention on having an ultra-boarding sports complex that will cater for all the sporting disciplines. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, calling us there. Thank you very much. Pretty much, I think, we have another caller. You can do one more, then we're done with the calls. I think we can do just one more. We'll try and connect to the caller. Hello? Okay, I think he has dropped. Well, that's all. Thank you very much for the calls there. Actually, we need to wrap up, but Liverpool, Man United, you guys wanted to say something about it. Maybe you should just do that quickly and we can be out of here.
Charlie, is there a way that match can be cancelled?
Ah, come on. It's fine too there.
See,
he said, is there a way the match can be cancelled?
Give Liverpool the 3 points and three. Because the only way United win that match is if it's trial by combat.
But Charlie, something will be happening.
No. Unless trial by combat. Even that one, you have to go and rent mercenary army like the Unsullied. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
The vim is...
Did you watch Game of Thrones?
No, is the vim that low?
Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I have watched it.
Yeah. You see the Unsullied army?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. A combination of the Unsullied and then the Dothraki. That's the only way.
But it's a United and then they are here.
And Slot Nunitimu Dino. He's not... the ruthlessness with which they have exhibited this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like they are good.
Mm-hmm.
You know they are good. But when they are killers, let me put it that way.
Just had one yesterday, Obed just 6-5.
Boga. Yeah, we've seen good teams, but the level of ruthlessness, like when they are in their zone,
mm-hmm.
they can inflict significant damage. Mm-hmm. And by the time they get out, the game is done.
Say usuru bakusu boga. You dey fear yesterday, you dey shake.
See, Sunday, it can easily be another 5 or and you see for me, I don't want to even dwell too much on the tactics. They are a freak force of nature. How they are able to play the football they play, right? The physicality, the physical condition that we've seen this season is just crazy. And for Mohamed Salah, as recent as March this year, remember that game at West Ham where he was arguing with Jurgen Klopp. He was not always starting games and he was arguing with Jurgen Klopp on the sidelines when he was about to come on. And people were, at the end of the season, asking that Liverpool move him on. But in less than a year, he's turned it all around, back to his best. And he looks 5 or 6 years younger.
Yeah, he's doing really well.
One of the guarantees is that he's going to score again.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens on Sunday.
There's nothing to see. They are winning that game and convincingly.
We'll see. What will happen on Sunday there? You know, don't completely write off United. It's a serious game. Anything can happen.
No, it's a serious game.
But anything can happen.
They can suffer serious damage.
Anything can happen. Just leave it like that. Anyway, guys, I want to say thank you very much for being part of the show. We are done today, and we're going to be back next week. And, we will do that. Well, turn attention to the BBC now for the latest.